Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ceinsys Tech Limited Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Natasha Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Natasha.
Hello, and good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, I thank you all for joining into Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call of Ceinsys Tech Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Kaushik Khona, Managing Director, Indian Operations, Dr. Abhay, the Managing Director, and Mrs. CA Asmita Saxena. So, without any further delay, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Kaushik, sir, for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everybody. It's a pleasure to welcome you to this earnings conference call for the third quarter and 9 months ended financial year 2025-26. Let me first thank our host for today's con call, Mrs. Arihant Capital. In the interest of some of the people who may be new to the company, let me first start by giving you a brief overview of the company first, and followed by the performance highlights for the quarter under review. Ceinsys Tech has been rebranded to CSTech AI, while the corporate name remains as Ceinsys Tech Limited. We are a leading technology solution provider in the IT-enabled sector, providing engineering and technology solutions in the infrastructure domain. We are acclaimed for our expertise in geospatial engineering, as well as other engineering services and solutions. We offer a broad range of geospatial intelligence services, including data creation, data analysis, decision support system, and enterprise solutions. After the acquisition of mobility business of Allegro in 2022, we acquired a geospatial business of VTS in USA in the year 2024, which was majorly operating into telecom domain. Since then, we are identifying some more targets for the inorganic growth to expand our horizons into the domains where the company is already operating, that is, the geospatial and engineering services and the technology solutions, for which the company has already mobilized almost around $28 million. We serve prestigious global clientele that include large corporates, OEMs, asset management companies, and government bodies, highlighting its robust reputation in both the geospatial and manufacturing sectors. With offices in India, in the United States, United Kingdom, and Germany, the company combines local expertise with a broad international reach. Additionally, the company has initiated and invested into the development of product solutions focused on the infrastructure vertical and emerging technologies through a new vertical focused on the artificial intelligence and machine learning and embedded electronics. This vertical emphasizes the development of the AI and ML-enabled applications and solutions to enhance our delivery for the existing domains at the outset, reflecting the company's commitment to innovation and maintaining a competitive edge in a dynamic technological landscape. Now, let me come to the highlights of our financial and operational performance for the third quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2025. For the quarter under review, our operational revenue grew by 52% year-on-year to rupees 170 crore. EBITDA increased by 88% to rupees 40 crore, with margins expanding to 23.48%, reflecting a strong improvement of 452 basis points compared to the last year. Net profit stood at rupees 39 crore, up 119% year-on-year, translating into a healthy PAT margin of 22.9%. Now, coming to the financial highlights of 9 months ended of financial year 2025-26, our operational revenue grew by 78% year-on-year to rupees 490 crore. EBITDA increased by 107% year-on-year to rupees 106 crore, and EBITDA margins at 21.59%, which is an improvement of 302 basis points year-on-year. Net profit for the year was 96 crore, at a growth of 133% year-on-year, with PAT margins of 19.75%. This robust performance was supported by strong growth across our business segments. For the quarter under review, our geospatial engineering services revenue increased by 122% year-on-year to 109 crore, while on the technology solution side, revenue declined moderately by 3% to around 61 crore. For the 9 months, our geospatial and engineering services revenue increased by 77% year-on-year to 257 crores. Similarly, our technology solutions revenue grew by 79% year-on-year to 233 crores. Demand for our offerings remains strong. During the quarter, we booked new orders totaling to 170 crore, excluding mobility and product services, taking our closing order book as of 31st December to a healthy rupees 999 crores. At the same time, we have maintained discipline of working capital with our net working capital cycle in the range of 160 to 162 days. During the quarter, our collections were 170 crore, which is equivalent to operational revenue. During the quarter, we were able to realize significant collections in relation to the projects under the JJM. On the operational front, first, we continue to invest strategically in our future growth. During the quarter, we invested rupees 24 crores in technology innovations and business development, specifically aimed at expanding our presence in the US and other territories. Out of this investment, rupees 16 crore was charged to our profit loss account. During the quarter, we secured several contracts that further reinforce the strength and depth of our capabilities. These include an extension from the State Water and Sanitation Mission, Uttar Pradesh, for a third-party inspection services of 3 clusters extended up to March 26-27 with an estimated value of rupees 107 crores. Additional work orders from Maharashtra Remote Sensing Application Center under the National Soil Mapping Program, taking the cumulative NSMP order to approximately 7 crore. A work order from Maharashtra State Road Development Corporation as a system integrator for the supply, implementation and support of digital project management platform, including 5D Beam, ERP and GIS integration, and establishment of OSO, which is Owner Support Service, Owner Support Office, valued at rupees 12 crore. We also secured 2 mandates from MMRDA for urban chain detection systems and BIM implementation for tunnels and stations, aggregating to rupees 20 crore. Additionally, Vasai Virar Municipal Corporation awarded us a work order for preparation of detailed project report and appointed us as a project management consultant for the STP project, amounting to rupees 12 crores. These wins reflect the breadth of our capabilities and our continued success in securing large and strategic projects across multiple domains. This quarter marks an important milestone in the growth journey. Our focus remains on the building a predictable and resilient business, one that delivers consistent quarter-on-quarter growth while maintaining financial discipline. The improvement in EBITDA margins reflects the strength of our operating model and the maturity of execution capabilities. This quarter also marks a phase of scale consolidation for us, strengthening our delivery regime, deepening client relationship, and laying a solid foundation for the next phase of expansion. With a robust pipeline and sustained demand for AI-led engineering and digital solutions, we are well positioned to continue this momentum while maintaining a balanced approach to growth and profitability. In our efforts to build long-term strategic partnership with few technology domain experts and those who can provide us a platform for expanding our services and geographies where we serve, we have entered into MOU with Tech Mahindra and Etosky, which adds to the long list of strategic and OEM partnerships. We are working towards building more such strategic partnerships in the coming times. We are also taking steps to set up our foothold in the markets of Dubai and Saudi Arabia. With this, I open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vaibhav Mishra from Finvestors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations for the fabulous set of numbers once again. And, sir, we have been executing, we might close the year around 700 crores or more maybe. And, sir, current, I think the order book is 1,000 crores, so we might be ending with 800 crores of order book after Q4 if we don't get further orders. I mean, I think we were expecting some 500-600 crores of orders in Q3 and Q4, but Q3 has not been that much good. So are we expecting heavy inflow in quarter 4 to match the numbers that we have been executing for the last 2 years, 60, 50, 70% kind of growth, or is there some change you would like to tell?
Thanks for your question. Abhay ji, would you like to take this question?
Yeah, I would like to take, yeah. Thanks, Vaibhav. So we, as stated in the last call, we are still on the whatever we have achieved. So where we will be achieving the numbers, though you said we will be doing another 600 crore, that's not the truth. But yes, what we anticipate for 1,000 crore will be closing by something close by to that. As you rightly stated, that we have anticipated to close around 800 crore, but we will be trying to get to reach up to 900 crore. That's what numbers we are envisaging to close. We still have a good pipeline, may slip to Q1, but we are trying to close it in Q4. So, but what number we have promised, we'll be reaching up to 90% or to 100% of those. That's for sure. I hope you-
Sir, I did not get it. Sir, we are, we will be closing our order book after Q4 at around 900 crore. That's what you are saying, sir?
We are anticipating to close to that, yeah.
Okay, closing order book. All right, sir. So, FY 2027, sir, any outlook, I mean, kind of growth or margins, for that matter? What do you expect from FY 2027 in the medium term? What kind of growth we can-
I can only tell you that we have a good pipeline. I cannot forecast the numbers at this point in time. The numbers are being worked out, but again, it's a forward-looking thing. I can ask Kaushik Ji to comment on that.
No, thanks for your question. As we have consistently maintained, we don't give projections and forward-looking statements. But if you can see the growth momentum of last eight quarters, quarter-on-quarter, year-on-year, we have been growing more than even this quarter, we have seen that we have grown more than 52% on the top line. And if you look at last three years trend, from our 2023-24 base of 251 crore-
Operator request has been initiated. If you'd like to cancel this request, please press star zero again.
I hope I'm audible. From
Yes.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
From 250 crore worth of top line of 2023-24, we have reached a top line of 490 crore in this nine months period. So I think you can witness the growth. And, as we already mentioned in the opening remarks, we expect this momentum to continue. We won't be able to give you the forward-looking statements, which has been our consistent approach. Thank you.
Okay, sir. All right. And sir, update on U.S. subsidiary. I think we have been investing quite heavily on that. And in the last call, you said that some large contracts were under negotiation. So, and we are also expecting contribution from Q4 onwards. So what's the update on that, sir?
So you are right. We have been investing for growth markets, and the same approach continues, and we have been able to get some good traction. I think even in the last call, we had mentioned that maybe by Q4 of this year or Q1 of next year, we will get to know more about the strategy and about how we have built up the businesses over there. So right now, we are in the process of building up, and we will come to you by quarter four or Q1 of the next year.
All right, sir. All right. Thank you so much, sir, for your time, and all the best for the future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Aman Soni from Nvest Analytics Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hi. First question is on the inorganic acquisition. Last phone call, you mentioned about timeline of 1 to 2 months, but it has been 3 to 4 months now from that. We have not seen any development on that particular area. So why the delays are happening, sir, on a consistent basis, quarter-over-quarter? We have given an indicative timeline, but that timeline is not getting met, sir, on this particular area. So, please give some clarity on that, sir.
Which is the area? I'm not able to listen properly.
Inorganic acquisitions timeline.
On the inorganic side.
Acquisition. Okay. No, so you are right. We are actively pursuing the due diligence process is also almost over. There has been slight delay from the compliance side because we are evaluating all the aspects, so I think we are not able to give you the answer right now. hopefully by quarter four end, you will have a little more clarity about the acquisition targets which we have been pursuing.
So you are saying
we don't want to invest just because the funds are there. We are investing. We are going to invest into those opportunities where we see synergy, and therefore it is taking a little bit time. But I think by next quarter end, we should be able to give you a better picture.
When you say we will be getting some better picture, like, are you going to like conclude the inorganic acquisition opportunity by Q4, or what is the scenario?
Yeah, that is what. So the process is already on. The conclusion should be taking place in next 2-3 months.
Okay. And when you are saying compliance issues, what kind of compliance issues right now we are facing in concluding this opportunity?
It's a due diligence process. So I think there are due diligence experts which are doing that. And once we get the confirmation of the reports, then we will be able to take a call.
Okay, understood. And secondly, on the governance part, over the last 12 to 15 months, the company has seen multiple senior level changes, including the repeated CFO changes and appointment and subsequent exit of a CEO designation, and several senior management reshuffles as well. So can you clearly explain what is driving this frequency of resignations and the re-designations at the top management level? Specifically, are these anyways linked to any strategic disagreement or maybe the performance issues or any cultural integration challenges that we are currently facing? And what are the concrete steps that the board has taken to ensure the leadership stability going forward, sir?
So I think it's a good question, but I think we have already given answers earlier. I would just like to reiterate, Dr. Abhay Kimmatkar is there since last 28 years. Ms. Amita Ji was already the CFO prior to 2024. She had a short break by which we had Samir for a short time, but she is back to the company. We had the planned exit of Prashant Kamat Ji, who has completed his tenure, but he is already onboarded with as an independent director who is guiding us for the future growth path. So I think the changes are all, I would say, expected, planned, and I think we have rebuilt the entire management team to focus on the growth, which you can see how the growth is performed. And fortunately, we also have got the benefit of our chairman, Mr. Sagar Mege, also joining to the executive position. So I think this will give a lot of credence to the working of the company and provide the kind of vision which we are already working with on a day-to-day basis, so that we are, with the guidance of our promoter Sagar sir, we would be able to take this company to a greater heights. So I think the changes which have happened are not something which has affected us. Neither they were cultural issues, nor they were any strategic movement because of some agreements. But I think it was maybe some one change which I already explained about Prashant ji. And I think with the induction of Sagar sir as the whole-time director, things are even with a greater vision, we can work on our mission faster.
Thank you. Participants, I would ask you to limit your question to 2. And if you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Gunit Singh from Counter Clinical PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. I would like to understand what are our billed and unbilled receivables as on date.
Amita ji, I would request you if you can just highlight that.
Sir, our debtors as on 31st December is around 150 crores, out of which 150 crores, 125 crores is approximately within 1 year only. So only 25 to 27 crores is pertaining to year more than 365 days. And as far as unbilled is concerned, it is approximately around 250 crores of unbilled revenue. And we have almost billed 140 crores in this quarter. So the movement in UBR, the increase in turnover due to UBR is only 33 crores in this quarter.
And I think one thing, just to supplement further, whatever top line which we see, 170 crore on a consolidated basis, the total realization also during this quarter was more than 170 crore.
Yes, we have collected 170 crores of funds in this particular quarter.
All right. So, but total unbilled receivables is about 250 crores currently.
That's correct.
All right. Sir, what is the reason for our fall in tax rate this quarter, and what should be the tax rate for the entire years going forward?
So I think, as you are aware, we are into a cycle where most of these UBR unbilled revenue would be getting addressed during Q4, because that's the time when government is also trying to get the things sorted out.
Actually,
and
these are all milestone-based billings. We have to bill to the government on the basis of achievement of milestones. The work which is in progress, that comes into UBR, and certification process, and sometimes departmental issues are also there. But then this UBR is all related, maximum related to the achievement of milestones. Once the milestones are achieved, we will start billing. And we do bill. That's why we have billed in last quarter around approximately 140 crores, and even we have collected 170 crores in previous quarter. So this basically depends upon the achievement of milestones.
Got it. So our year-end, receivables, what should our year-end receivables look like in terms of both billed and unbilled? Because you mentioned that most of the billing and collection happened in Q4.
Maximum collection happens in last quarter only, so we are expecting again a good quarter as far as collections are concerned. And as far as UBR is concerned, that is a continuous cycle. So we will bill, again we will execute, and again there will be an UBR. So that is a continuous process.
So, would we be able to significantly reduce our receivables in Q4, like both billed and unbilled? That's my question.
So, if I can just submit, normally you would have seen last 2 years, the quarter for billing and the collections are always more than the billing, including UBR, and we expect that trend to continue. While we have seen that we have constrained our working capital cycle to almost 160 crores, our target is to bring it down, and we hope that with the major quarter four disbursement, this would be brought down further. So our efforts are on to bring it down. And we had achieved that in last quarter four of last year, to 125 days, and we will strive to bring that down further, in this year also.
Great, that's great. So basically, we'll bring down the little days from 160 to around 120 or 130 like last year. So that is good, actually. And in terms of the 40 crores that we have transferred to our subsidiary in the USA, what is that regarding? Is it related to the acquisitions that we completed?
So that is, as already mentioned, it is toward the business development, and the initial last year, 2024-25, what we made the payment was toward the acquisition of VTS. And thereafter, we have invested into business development and the technology interventions which we are doing as regards AI/ML is also being capitalized to some extent. Most of them is written off to the P&L, as already mentioned in my introductory speech. So these are basically efforts to build the future.
So the 40 crore transfer, that has also been deducted from the P&L. And what kind of business development would this entail, this transfer?
No, so 40 is which?
40 crores is infusion of capital, whatever we have given the man.
That's the infusion of capital, not everything is P&L. What we have mentioned is the P&L is only 16 crore, which is towards the business development for the geospatial business and the acquisition, the new business which we took of VTS. There also we have added our business development team. So that's the cost which we are incurring and which is written off to the P&L.
All right. So, I want to understand what is the, the 40 crore transfer to a subsidiary, what will that be used for specifically? Is it only for business development? And if so, what kind of business development are we looking at from that? Or will a part of it also be used for acquisitions?
So business development is basically whatever kind of capabilities which we are building here, and we have certain logos which we acquired through VTS. So we are trying to do more kind of data mining over there to get more businesses from such logos, which requires the setup of the team over there, which we have built a team. And in US, obviously, you know, the team building cost is also higher. And we have also been kind of trying to build some of the product development, which will be catered to the infrastructure domain, which we want to present to the US market also. So these are some of the opportunities which we can then encash for the future.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. So you may please rejoin the queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Kaushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Venture. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Very good afternoon. So could you please tell me what is our current receivables as of December 2025 and what proportion is more than 6 months out of them?
I think
we have already answered that question. We have a receivable of 150 crores as on 31st December, out of which approximately 126 crores belongs to a period less than 1 year only. And the question of yours, more than 6 months, less than 6 months is approximately 80-90 crores, approximately is from less than 6 months bracket.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit from Fusion Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I have two questions. First is on order book. Because our closing order book would be around 900 crores, and we have at the top we were at 1100 crores. So are we expecting the momentum to be increasing in FY27? Because as of now it seems a bit in a declining trend.
Yeah, I will take this question. We are continuously working upon that. We have a strategy created for next 3 years. We are continuously building our team. There were election times. We had 3 elections in Maharashtra. So almost 6 months of the entire year was in the code of conduct. So you won't have any tender publication also. So that was, despite that, we've been able to close good orders. And having said that, we have created a good pipeline. So definitely it will pass on to a spillover to Q1 or Q2 of FY27-20. So there's no issue with the pipeline and there's no decline as such. We have been very focused. We have created our entire roadmap, looking into the government funding, the opportunities, landscape and everything. And we have also deployed a good team and getting good hires for chasing those particular. So, and as Kaushik just mentioned, our chairman has taken an executive job and he's been overlooking our entire BD sales and their operation on day-to-day basis. So he's been helping team to, you know, create inroads into the bigger accounts, and then he's helping everybody to be on the ground. And we have a robust pipeline created for that. So I think I have answered your question.
Sir, a quick follow-up on that. Any rough idea on the current bid pipeline?
No, that cannot be told. That cannot be shared. That's what we've been telling. So number, but definitely it's a good pipeline. What we have achieved last 2 years, we will be maintaining that growth, what we had achieved last year and this year. Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, on the EBITDA margins, like we have reached in this quarter 23%, which is a significant jump from on a YOY basis. From here, does based on the pipeline and the business prospect, can you see still a chance for room of improvement, or we have reached a stable point in the range of 23%?
Kaushik just gave you the entire, you know, in preliminary speech.
If I can just take this. So, thanks for your question. If you see the presentation also, we have seen the the EBITDA margins growing steadily quarter on quarter for the last 8 quarters. So from a base level of 17% every quarter, we have seen increase, and we have reached at 23.4%. I think it is also the result of two major things. One is that expanding our top line, or expanding the share of business on the technology part, as well as going into a higher maturity kind of level of order book, where we see a greater value addition to the clients, and there where the margins are better. So going forward also, we believe that the margins would be at least stable, and we hope that this should sustainably improve quarter on quarter. We won't be able to give you any guidance on that, but the past trend is indicative of how we are focused on building a higher margin business.
Got it, sir. Still there is a scope of operating leverage. Not quantitatively you can say, but qualitatively. Is that assumption correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Thank you, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Narayana Lodhavia from Step Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you please share the receivable days in this quarter?
So we have a net working capital cycle of around 160 to 162 days, and it is same as the quarter two, and that is also as explained by our CFO, that our total revenue of this quarter was 170 crore and the collections also 170 crore. So the receivable working capital cycle has remained constant, and that we are striving to bring it further down, as we already explained that on quarter four normally the collections are better.
Okay, so any other steps that the company is going to take to get the value down to 120 or 30 as mentioned in the previous quarter's earnings call?
So I think I explained just before some time that we had consistently brought this working capital cycle down from a peak of 225 days before 3 years. And last year, quarter four, we had brought it to 125 days. We are already at around 162 days because in the lean quarter, I would say, when the government disbursements are slightly lower. Once the quarter four disbursements are higher, we expect this cycle to be improved. We wouldn't be able to quantify, but yeah, our target would be to bring it down.
Okay. Just the last question. What would be the order book mix of the recent quarter?
So we ended the quarter at 999 crores as already published. And we are striving further to build up that, as already explained by Dr. Abhayji.
Yeah, I wanted to understand the segmental breakup.
Segmental breakup, you want as regards the technology absorption and the geospatial part?
Right. Technology and geospatial, sir.
On the technology absorption side, it is around 460 crores. And around 530 crores is towards the geospatial side, majorly of which is a order in relation to the river linking project, which is classified majorly into geospatial, although some portion of it also is part of the technology of software.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sashi Khan from Brighter Mind Equity Advisor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the good set of numbers. And I have two questions. The first one is around the exploration of strategic alliances across MEA, ASEAN, and we're also entering into Saudi and Dubai, apart from the VTF acquisition that we have done in USA. So the 170 crores of the money we have raised in preferential allotment. So in which geographies, apart from USA, we are major focusing on in MEA and Asia?
So I think the growth focus is more into US, but we already explained, and you rightly observed, that we are also expanding our trying to build presence in Middle East, including the KSA, where we are deploying we would be coming up with the business development team, as well as we will be setting up a new structure over there, which will come back shortly. The areas of focus, the geographies of focus, therefore, remain as US as a prime and Middle East and KSA as a second territory to be building outside India.
Okay, just an extension of this one. What is the opportunity size, we are looking into these geographies, particularly in USA, in geospatial, and in any?
So I think if you look at the overall opportunity, there are huge opportunities. It's immeasurable. Even the recent reports of geospatial opportunity in the US was talking about a yearly opportunities of more than $2.4 billion. And therefore, we are a small pie into that. Even in India, we contribute to almost 6 to 7% of the geospatial engineering part. So I think we have a lot to conquer, and there are a lot of opportunities available.
Okay. My second question is about the Etosky Singapore MOU. So have you seen any development on that front?
No.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Please continue.
Yeah. So we are building a pipeline along with them. So they have a very niche technology. They are very strong in AI side. They do a lot of image interpretation. They have state of art technology, which is patented. They have good presence in Middle East and other parts of South Asian countries and the Far East as well. India, they have a strategic market. So they have strategically partnered with us to take up their solution. So we complement to their solution because we are doing a lot of application where we require the AI intervention. And already we have a pipeline, and we have, as Kaushik just mentioned, in MMRDA we are doing the solution like what we are doing for the chain detection using satellite imagery. Entire AI would be implemented. So their solution is going to be positioned there. So there are many other applications, projects which is in the pipeline. I can't name every project here, but yes, we have a strong pipeline created with them. Yeah.
My last question is just I squeeze one more. About our recent strategic alliance with Tech Mahindra, what is the scope of? We are into this strategic alliance.
So TechM, we have tied up for the global business development and execution. So they are very strong in two, three domains which we complement them. One is of telecom, which we are doing in the US. They are pretty strong. Their Mahindra British Telecom is their company. So they are strong footprint globally. They are the number one companies providing solution in those areas. So we have tied up with them. We are going to create different kind of solution. We also have our platform extended to their solution. They have acquired some company in Australia, which is complementing to our solution, and we will be going to their that part of the world with them. We are also building up some business with them in Europe side. Of course, Middle East, they have their presence, and they are very keen to join hands with us. And there is larger things coming up. We have recently signed up, and we are building up a lot of solutions with them.
Participants are requested to ask two questions per participant. The next question is on the line of Priyanshi Kanke from Brighter Mind Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. And congratulations for setting amazing numbers. Sir, in the last call, you were mentioned that we have bidded for 14 additional projects under river linking. So what's the current status of these bids, and what is the total addressable value of these projects?
Thanks for your question. I think perhaps the understanding is a little different. We have identified there are certain projects of river linking which are being pursued by the government of India, and we are tapping those opportunities as and when they come up. Right now, we have only been focusing on the largest river linking project which we are part of it. We are doing the DPR. So I don't think we have talked about any new river linking project being already tapped, because they are still under the exploration side. But we understand that there are around 12 to 13 projects which are under priority one, which also we are tapping. So as and when things come up, we will be trying to take a pie into that. Right now, we are still on the exploratory stage of the additional projects.
Okay, got it, sir. But I think,
yes.
I think, sir, in the last group call, which was conducted in December, I think, might be I'm wrong in this. So sorry. Sir, my second question is on how we are planning to capitalize on government's land mapping and digi-locking initiatives, and what's the potential revenue opportunity we are seeing from these initiatives?
Yeah, I will answer that. Land mapping or modernization of land is happening since last 20 years. You may be aware. Different time, different agencies have taken up. Every state is doing their own piece. Survey of India has come out with Swamitva and Daksha. And Rural Development Department has also come out with some other piece. Everything was a pilot. They are still exploring and evolving what kind of solution needs to be required. But it's a 100-year-old record which needs to be really refurbished, recreated, resurveyed. Yeah, and application is to be really robust to handle all those data sets. There are a lot of challenges, a lot of issues. All geospatial companies in India have ventured in that, have taken one of the other projects. CSTEC has done four of those projects in different parts of the country. Government of Maharashtra has come out with one application project, which is a unified land management. CSTEC is very much vying for that. It's just an expression of interest state now. They have called up the interest document. Everybody has filed in. There are larger, major SIs they have invited so far. They would be inviting us for a tech piece, but not at this point in time as an EUI. But yes, they will be vying for geospatial companies like us for providing solution to this larger project. So every state would come out with this kind of opportunity, this kind of project. It's again a 20-year a long process to map every piece of land in this country, every land parcel to be mapped and resurveyed. So work is on. We are very much on the target. We have created a team and we will be vying for such project. This is kind of 1,000 crore plus kind of project for each of the state. And we are definitely going to win those projects. We will be aggressively putting up our bids for those.
Sorry to interrupt you, ma'am. May I request you to rejoin the queue for a follow-up question? The next question is on the line of Samir Ray from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have a couple of questions for you. I was going through a product use case in your presentation, eighth page in your presentation. It seems figures did not change in last three quarters. I mean, all the figures, numerical figures are the same you are using there. And the second one is, I see you are in IT services and all that sort of technology business. Headcount numbers are not provided in your, statement, that particular presentation. Headcount numbers give a better presentation of the growth of the company and recruitment and all that. Generally, all such technology companies provide headcount numbers. You do not. Generally, I see that. And third one, last contract that we own in USA, that was LIDAR contract when we acquired VTH. After that, nothing we have heard from that segment, of the market. Can you give some light on that? Thank you. That's all from my
side. Set of questions, I think.
So, if you can, if you permit, I will just answer these three questions. One is that if you look at the presentation which has been uploaded on the BSE site, it gives you the complete presentation about the quarter three and the 9 months presentation, where numbers won't be different from what we have already published. Kindly look at that presentation. It gives you the clarity.
I was talking about page number 8, sir. Page number 8, in which you have presented that so much kilometers have been done in electricity and services, so much kilometers have been done in road and all that. Those four figures are there, page number 8.
Okay. Yeah, so I will answer that. If last two quarters, it may not have changed, because unless until you achieve milestone, you cannot add those or update those. Because electrical network we have done for UPPC, we have 2-3 other things. So last 6 months, there is no project wherein you find any electrical network or water network appended. So whatever updations or whatever data is collected, we add to that our credential. Once the sign-off is done, then only you will add it. I agree, some may not have moved because the nature of project what we are executing at this point in time may not have those kind of work being carried out. But yes, in the DPR side, in the engineering side, there are numbers change. You may observe that. One of the other quarter, you will find same numbers coming in. But yes, over quarter 2 or 3, you will find changes in those numbers. And then we continuously start the updations on the numbers.
Sure.
Yeah,
right. And we appreciate your observation as regards employee headcount. We will try to see that from next quarter call. We will also provide you that. And as regards the U.S. Market, I think because the U.S. market is catered to by our subsidiaries, we don't disclose those reports over here, because in the Sciences Tech Limited, the orders which are published issued in the name of Sciences only get published, while the business of US, which is in the name of our subsidiary, is not getting published over here. That's why you may not see those changes, those opportunities being pursued in the BSE disclosures. So we appreciate your inputs. We will try to add those employee headcount. And as and when, as Abhayji said, as and when the project milestone is completed, we add to that numbers, which we will do.
I was talking about, sir, acquisition. I mean, of getting orders. One VTS contract, that $0.6 million order that you got from USA, that was updated. That information you gave to exchange. And but since then, we haven't given any information to exchange regarding any order win or anything like that. That's why that was a question or a point of worry for me.
No, I understand.
As a shareholder,
VTS was a direct acquisition. That is why we had disclosed. VTS was acquired through Sciences Tech, and that's why we had made a disclosure. But the businesses which we acquire in US are through the Technology Associates Inc., which is the US subsidiary. Therefore, we don't disclose in the stock exchange disclosure over here. The subsidiary performances get reflected in the consolidated balance sheet, but we don't disclose the orders which we receive. So I don't think that has been the practice in the past also. The VTS was an acquisition of that asset company. Therefore, that disclosure was there. I hope I am able to clarify.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of C.A. Garvit Goyal from Serin Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
I have two questions. One question is on just the clarification I need on the order book. You mentioned at Q2 end, the order book was 1192 CR, which was excluding the recurring annual commitment. And Q3, we did a revenue of 173 CR, and new orders that we received till December, based on your order filing, is 120 CR. So going by that, your closing order book as on December should be 1140 CR. But we are saying that it is around 999 CR. So what is the gap, sir?
Sir, 1192 crore was as on 1st of April. And we are, since April, we have executed orders of around 490 crores. And every quarter, we give that order book reconciliation. So this in this quarter, after the execution of 170 crore, the closing order book is 999 crore, on which the overall order book of the new orders which have been added is 170 crores. So it's basically we started with 1004 crores in that was on 30th of September, and we are at the similar order book at the end of this quarter also. However, as we already clarified, this order book does not include the orders in relation to the mobility and the product services division, which is over and above that. which also in a, at a, any given point of time would be in the range of around 125 to 150 crore, which is the annual turnover expected from those divisions. So therefore, 999 is the closing order book after considering the execution of the last 9 months.
Understood. Got it. And secondly, on the order intro side, in relation to the previous participant also, I think they have raised some points. Last time we guided that around 700 to 800 CR bids are expected to be closed, where our win rate was expected to be 70%. Going by that, we should have secured good orders by now, but we have only secured 170 CR, which is far below the expectations. And at that time, you also mentioned that the ticket size of the major bids in the bid pipeline, maybe somewhere around 50 to 150 CR, we have received only one such big order in the last 4 to 5 months, which was valuing somewhere around 107 CR. So why are we not getting the orders, sir? Like, what is exactly happening wrong here? And if this is going to be the case, how are we going to manage the growth for the next year or maybe the year after that?
Yeah, I will answer to your question. We stated that we are pursuing some 670 crore of orders. We backed 2-3 orders. One is 117 crore and then 20 crores. And also, there has been a code of conduct which we didn't anticipate back-to-back. Two code of conduct had come, and it almost lost our 4 months of operation. So government was standstill on taking decisions and coming out with tenders. So those are in pipeline. Tenders are published. And then we are anticipating to get those closing Q4. If not Q4, but Q1 of next year. But definitely those are all in pipeline. No order is or no opportunity is lost. That's still in the pipeline, and we are pretty confident of winning all those. Numbers would be sometimes pushing into one quarter to other quarter, but those are all in pipeline. No opportunity has been lost. Funding has been there, identified the opportunities, account is properly mapped, and tender is getting published, and some tenders are already published. Somewhere we have bid it, and we are anticipating to get those closed before Q4.
And how are we going to manage the growth, sir? Like earlier we used to say quarter over quarter we will be growing. So how that story is intact now?
Our revenue is still growing, if we have observed.
Q3 it is grown, I agree. But what about the Q4 and then next year quarter? That's what I am trying to understand.
So that is what I am saying. We have a robust pipeline. We will not falter on the numbers as far as the revenue goes. Because whatever order pipeline we have, we will be achieving. Because the milestones are also like that. Wherein what are the growth trajectory we have been achieving, we will be maintaining that. That's for sure.
So you are saying quarter over quarter we will keep on going?
As far as revenue goes, we will be definitely growing on the quarter numbers.
I mean, I would just like to supplement you. You are aware that the closing order book as on 31st December is also 999 crore. And apart from that, annual revenue of around 150 crore, which is not part of order book, will also continue. So there is a visibility of the next year in any case. But as Abhayji said, we will get to hear better at the end of quarter four or quarter one. But the pipeline continues.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. I would ask you to rejoin the queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Krishna Revan from Family Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congrats for the good set of numbers and thank you for the opportunity. So most of my questions have been answered. I have one question related to the government Jal Jeevan Mission scheme pause. So due to some misleading things by some contractors, the government has a pause on the Jal Jeevan Mission thing. So how much are we going to affected on this? And when we are going to see the upcoming orders to come in pipeline for this Jal Jeevan Mission? Because most of our revenue is used to come from the Jal Jeevan Mission only. So I just wanted more clarity on that particular thing.
Abhayji, would you like to take it?
The line for Abhay sir has dropped.
Okay. Can you please repeat? Are you talking about JJM mission?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I think we still have a lot of visibility about JJM orders. As you are aware, JJM mission is scheme is on till 2028, and we already have few orders which are being executed. and some of the orders in pipeline is also pursued in respect of the JJM orders. So as Abhayji already mentioned, perhaps he lost his line, but we will be getting few orders from JJM mission as well, while other government projects are also being pursued. Let's wait for the orders to conclude by, let's say, quarter four end or quarter one of next year, and then we will have a better clarity. We already have JJM mission is, as you are aware, on till 2028, and hopefully we will have a lot of opportunities to pursue.
Yes, sir. So why I'm asking, because a few quarters back we have received from Uttar Pradesh government in the river linking project. So that order is supposed to close by within 6 months and maybe within 8 months. But actually, due to some government lagging channel, it keep on postponing. So my concern is whether the upcoming projects, are we going to get it, or are we considering to just come out from the increase the revenue share from non-government projects?
We are pursuing that. It's getting delayed, but all the opportunities are being pursued. We hope that
okay,
also fructifies.
Okay, sir. And second question related to the US subsidiary. So, for the previous question, you said that you are not going to disclose the revenue potential, the TAM and all. So, at least if you give some guidance that how much revenue we are going to get in the next year or maybe next to next year, whether it's 10% or maybe 5%, just to throw some light on that U.S. subsidiary. Because of the U.S. trade deal also happened.
Yeah. So, I think there are two elements to this. One is that if you look at the standalone balance sheet and the consolidated balance sheet, you will come to know that the subsidiary, and which prominently U.S. subsidiary contributes to that turnover, if you analyze that, the U.S. subsidiary would be contributing this year at around 23-25 crore at the end of this year. And if you look at the U.S. subsidiary this year, it will be in the range of around less than 4.4 to 5%. We expect that to improve as we already made some BD efforts, and for that we'll come to you once the year closes about what the next year plan.
I would ask the participant to follow back to the queue. The next question is from the line of Darshil Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. A lot of my questions have already been answered. So just a small recommendation, if we could, just mention the US numbers that we are doing, that would be really helpful, because I think we've been investing significantly in the BND right out there. So can you just, we're planning to do around 23-25 CR of revenue from US. Till 9 months, can we, quantify what's the revenue and PAT been of US business, sir?
Just give me a second.
Yeah. And till that, I'll just ask my other question. Yeah, sorry.
So till 9 months, we have achieved around 19 crores of the top line. And if you consider other revenue items, the total top line is around 21 crore for the 9 months in US.
The PAT, sir? PAT?
PAT is, we are talking of EBITDA. We are not having the numbers on PAT, but EBITDA will be in the range of around 20%.
Okay. So despite the investments, so can you help me reconcile a bit, because when we say that, we are putting 16 crores as, investment in BND, so that's taken in standalone book of CNCs and not in the US business. Is that how it works? Because what I can understand, how much we are making in 9 months revenue, that much we've 16 crores we have kind of invested in just one quarter, right? So just wanted to get a bit of a help and clarity in terms of our US business. And if you could just put it in the presentation or press release, that also helps, because total how much we spent, I think around good 50-60 CR till now, right, in development. And
yeah.
that's dwarfing the revenue that we've done in the 9 months, right?
Yeah, so just wanted. In speech, I mentioned that we are on expense out around 16 crores, which is part of our BD expenses. So we'll clarify that as a part of maybe next time we will have a little more different way of presenting. But just to recap what you asked for, the US expenditure on BD is expensed out in US, and the EBITDA which I told you is the operational EBITDA. The net profit after the BD expenses will be later. So it's EBITDA minus the BD expenses will be the net result. I don't have the PAT results right now, but this is EBITDA results, as I said, is 20%.
Okay, fair enough, sir. And just my next question is regarding the order book. So I understand that, you know, we've had a bid pipeline right now, which has been delayed due to the code of conduct, sir. But I'm just asking post that, like, what are the, you know, order value that we are trying to target? Because from what I understand, like, we have 1,000 crores right now. We are planning to pursue 600, 700 crores, from which we'll maybe get 50-70%, whatever the figures are. So that will take care of us for FY27 for sure. But my question is related a bit more long term towards FY28, because, you know, by that time we will need new orders. So what's the order, you know, pipeline target that we are having for FY27? Because as it takes a lot of time to get the orders, we'll have to have some firm, you know, like a order bid pipeline in FY27, which will eventually be, you know, we'll be get by the end of FY27. So just wanted to ask a bit about that, sir.
That's correct. Abhay, you are there. The
line for Abhay has dropped again.
No problem. So I will just take cue from what Abhay has already mentioned. The opportunities which were expected to close within this quarter three, quarter four, may get closed by either quarter four or maybe quarter one, quarter two next year. The pipeline continues only because, as you rightly mentioned, 4 months have lost because of the COC, the code of conduct. So the pipeline what we are pursuing is significantly higher. What we expected was to close around 600-700 crores worth of orders. So that is what we will still pursue. I think the three-year plan and a five-year plan which Abhayji was already indicating earlier, I think there is a huge opportunities which have been listed along with some of the new technology missions, the geospatial missions, the land reforms. They are also going to give us a good kind of opportunities which are all being pursued during the FY26-27, and I think we are striving to build a good order book, at least to ensure that we have reasonable 2 years order book at the end of FY 2026-27. So there are a lot of opportunities which we are pursuing. I think we will be able to give you a little more details as and when we close, and by quarter four end we should be able to have some more clarity about how much we ordered, order are confirmed, and how much we expect the orders to be closed in quarter one of next year.
Yeah, sorry, my connection got lost. Are you able to hear me?
Oh, okay, yeah, Abhayji, I just tried to answer in your absence. So
So I heard it. Just to add with that, we are trying to create a pipeline which would be, you know, sustainable for next 7 to 8 years. So those kind of projects also we are trying to create. What Kaushikji was trying to say, that we have already built up that pipeline and there is good roadmap and projects here also already mentioned. We're also trying to build up some parallel kind of pipeline wherein we'll get a business of 7 to 8 years of horizon. Yeah, that's just to add to that.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Apeksha Bajaj from AV FinCorp Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have few questions, so related ones. So given that large part of geospatial and GIS industries work with government and institutional clients, what is the current industry scenario with respect to payment releases and certification timelines? And related to this, also despite there are sector-wide challenges, Sciences has maintained relatively lower working capital days from its peers. So how does the company manages that, and is it sustainable when the scale grows up? Thank you.
I think a good question, and to be very frank, the entire pursuing of opportunities is based on what Abhayji already explained, that we pursue those opportunities where we see that there is a firm budget allocation and the funds are visible, and therefore you see that our payment cycle is faster or working capital investment cycle is lower than the competition. We have not seen much of hassles in getting payment certifications and payments. As CFO had also explained, our working capital cycle, in fact this quarter we got the collection of 170 crore against a top line of 170 crore, so I think it's a reasonable effort which the entire team is doing. Certification wise, I think you are aware about how government processes work, so based on the achievement of a milestone, we are raising kind of the statement of works which gets certified, and within a reasonable time. I don't think government bodies take long time, and we have experienced it doesn't take more than 2 to 3 to 4 weeks maximum, and then the payment is also, once the kind of budgetary allocations are available, the payments are made, and therefore typically the debtors and the overall working capital cycle are lower.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Arthur Syed from Smart Sync Services. Please go ahead. And sir, I would request you to restrict to 2 questions per participant. Thank you.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to know about the borrowings part. Since 1 or 2 years, our borrowings are increasing. So I wanted to know what would be the peak borrowings we will have in the future and what is the reason for the increase in the borrowings.
So I would request CFO to supplement, but I could just give you one fact, that the borrowings are only cash credit. There are no long-term borrowings. The cash credit is the only borrowing which we have. In fact, if you see, there is a net debt to equity is negative. Amitaji?
Right now we are just using our 29-30 crores of CC, so that is the only loan we have in our books.
And if you see the finance cost, I think it is also made up of the BG cost.
There are some processing fees and other costs also in that finance cost, but then it is not that our loans are increasing. We have made a good collection in this quarter. So right now we are just utilizing 30 crores out of the 80 crores limit of RCC.
Okay, got it. And just last one question on, just like we did partners with Mahindra, it is a very good thing for us. So I wanted to know how Mahindra actually partnered with us, because they are very big compared to us. So can you please throw some light on this?
Yeah, I will add it to that later. Kaushik, you can supplement. Mahindra has various segments and expertise, and they've been market leader in the tech space, primarily from the telecom side. They had larger credentials and capabilities. We come as a partner for them in water and energy side. We have been doing major projects in government of India and states here. And then they were really attractive towards this. They wanted to expand on those areas. Even we are complementing to them in the US market for the telecom side. However, on the utility side, they were pretty keen on partnering with us. We have done a lot of innovations on the AI side, on the platform for geospatial. We are also building up something on the scanning side. So they are trying to get onto that platform, and they wanted us to also help them in, you know, creating their platform and expanding their capture technology, because they are doing a lot of work for Google as well as their own platform they are developing for the content. So CS Tech has been doing this for the last 30 years. So data creation is one, application development is second. These are the areas where CS Tech has good progress, and they wanted the help from outside to build up their platform on that. I think I have answered that.
Yes. Just last one question, like there is a slight dip in our technology revenue. So can you please throw some light on this? And thank you.
I think as we have explained, that the share of technology revenue versus geospatial revenue, depends more on the cycle in which right now we have kind of executed a project. So during this quarter, quarter three, the technology cycle of the major project which we undertook, which was on the river linking, that portion was less. However, if you look at the 9 months result, both of the divisions have grown at more than 75%. And I expect the growth to continue even in quarter four with the similar the contribution from both the units. However, we have maintained that our focus will remain more on the technology side of a project, and the geospatial will always second to it. So we will execute a little bit more on the technology side of the project during the quarter four. There are certain elements of those projects which are going to be executed in quarter four. And it, as I said, it depends on the cycle of the work order which you are executing, whether it is a technology side or it is a geospatial side.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Charu Manral, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Sir, you may unmute your lines.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, continue.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Congratulations on the great set of numbers, first of all. I want to ask some questions. My first question is there any major capex planned for technology upgradation?
So we have been investing on a consistent basis on the technology. We have been pursuing certain product development in AIML, and we have a team which is on to that. So there will be investment to it, but most of the expenditure we don't capitalize, although there may be some elements of capex on it. But we pursue these elements as a part of our product development.
Okay, sir. Thank you. My second question is, in the large geospatial bids, who are our main competitors and what's the differentiate between Census Tech and them?
I think that's a very, very generic question, but I would try to answer. CS Tech, which is our company, is mainly a geospatial platform. So what we do is our geospatial technology services are a horizontal platform, and on that we build the different domain infrastructure solutions. So we have presence in water, we have presence in energy, we have presence in land reforms and road asset management and all. So if you want to relate which are the competition to company as such, I don't think we will be able to identify one company versus CS Tech, because every domain has its different expertise. So for, let's say, for energy, I may be competing with X. For road asset management, I may be competing with Y. And for water, there may be other companies. So I don't think there is any major one competition. We are having competition vertically different for the different infrastructure domains. I hope I could answer. There are, if I were to give names, like for example, in water, there are companies like RMSI will be there, or it's a geospatial, that also is a geospatial platform. In Genesis is basically on the geospatial enterprise.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope I answered your question, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question of the day due to time constraint. And now I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to IR managers, which are Valorem Advisors, or you can reach out to the company secretary for any specific questions. Thank you, Arihant Capital, for hosting this, and thanks all the participants for your active participation. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thanks.
On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.